May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do I belong here? Will I fit in here? Do they want me here? Familiar enough questions that express a natural anxiety. The child who moves school during a school year, will I fit in here? The engineer who moves firm mid-project, the newest canon, the latest member of the congregation, and today, Ben and Raoul, as the latest choir boys to be installed, will I fit in here? All these questions taken up, I think, so well in Jesus' teaching, anxiety that can lead to fear, that can lead to anger. They're expressed in Jesus' teaching in the figure of the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son. You'll know the story. Towards the end, the whole household is shaped around the delight in the returning prodigal son. And so it's for the elder brother who says, any longer, do they want me here? But all that is picked up later on in the New Testament. In that reading we heard just now, when the Gentiles are saying, do they want us here and now? The Jesus movement had to that date been about Jesus and his friends and their friends' friends, all Jews, mostly Galileans, the in crowd. And along comes some new ones from across the sea, speaking a different language, saying, and is there space for me? That question, is there space for me, is such an emotionally powerful question that it's insufficient to reply, yes. What we need at these times, we need more said to us than that. And so they said to the Gentiles, yes, you don't have to follow the law of Moses. Yes, you don't have to be circumcised. Yes, all sorts of practices and rituals you don't have to do. The intent of this is, we want you. But what is actually said is, you don't have to. It's the same for Ben and Raoul now. Yes, we want you, but to drive that message home, you don't yet, Ben, have to know the difference between Dyson in F and Sumption in G. And Raoul, you don't have to know the difference between Cotta, Beretta, and pancetta. Some of that you eat, some of it you wear, some of it, but we do want you here. You don't have to sounds negative, but actually it's a powerful, it's a permission-giving phrase. And you'll need to do the same as people come here afresh, wanting to make their base here. You may be required not only to say, but to embody, beyond a welcome. You don't have to. And that's actually standing back and creating space. It's good, but it's not good enough yet, because it is just a bit negative. We're saying welcome, we're giving permission. You don't have to needs to be followed by what they do have to do. And the church has always struggled to do this next step, to give a clear answer without simply doing it in a way that we make yet again an in-group. We make it so welcoming and inclusive that we still leave others on the outside. We can welcome in a way that is at the expense of excluding yet others. So try this. The question is, but what do I have to do? And Jesus gives us a new way of trying to tackle it. What do I have to do? He says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So that's the answer. That's the answer for the child coming into the school in the middle of a school year, for the engineer joining a firm, for Ben and Raoul joining in. All you have to do is love one another as I have loved you. It's good. That half of the sentence is good. But did you hear the first half? Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. And if we hear the power of that word commandment as still finger wagging, it has the potential to be exclusive. But Jesus isn't doing that. He's giving us, I don't like the word commandment, so I'll use the word rule. Not a law, not an order, not an instruction, but a rule. And I have here a rule. It looks like that. Now, of course, it looks like the sort of stick that Catherine may use to beat naughty choir boys. But actually, it's a rule. In the original sense of the word, it is a piece of wood that is precisely 36 inches long. It's what you and I would now call a ruler, but they used to call it a rule, because it's something against which you can be measured. How well are you doing, Ben? How are you doing, Raoul, as you join the choir? Let's measure you up against something that is reliable and firm. How are you doing in your Christian life? Let's not give you commandments, but let's give you a measure. And the measure is simple. Love one another as I have loved you. So, Ben, Raoul, on this day of your installation, I would expect you to be feeling, not least because you're the star of this sermon, a bit anxious. But hear these words, which will be done formally in a moment. Ben Raoul, you belong here. And more than that, you don't have to be perfect yet. And more than that, you are going to grow into the sort of choir boy that I am sure will measure up. And if I may, just one more step. Come back, all of us, in 3 years' time, and Ben and Raoul will be the rules, will be the stature of mature choir boys against which the next generation of youngsters are measured. But of course, all that applies to us. And all the time we are in both these roles of seeking to measure up to what Jesus has said, but also ourselves, allowing ourselves to be guides, sources of inspiration and encouragement, not just to the newest members of the congregation, but to each other, welcoming, spurring on, so that in the end, we will all be held against Jesus' rule. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen.